92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, coming to you live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Happy hour Friday at a bar.
Doesn't get much better
than that. Weather's pretty nice out there. Going to warm up throughout the day. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, it is a beautiful day here in Georgia, as you said, in Atlanta. We are at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, so we're going to have a good time. Make sure you people come out and holler at your boys. We'll be here to 2 o'clock. As you were saying, the big sports weekend, college football, a lot of different rivalries. And I mean, Red River Shootout,
yes,
which is probably going to be a Red River blowout, considering
yeah,
that
seems like it might be
because everybody who catches the ball for Oklahoma's hurt. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think Texas will beat them down anyways. But, yeah, the Falcons got a late game up there in Charlotte. The Dogs are taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Battle of the Bulldogs.
No, it ain't. They dog ain't even neutered.
Do you know?
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's kind of a flex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Showing up with his with his backside dangling out?
Yeah, man. That dog ain't even neutered. I mean, no, their dog is neutered.
Oh, he is? Okay, yeah, I was going to say, that's a little bit of a flex.
Yeah, they got a neutered bulldog.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's your thing.
You're supposed to get your pet spayed and neutered.
Yeah, but there's nothing. But, you know. Okay,
Boone's still mad at me about that.
Yeah, he looks at you crazy every single time. Every single day, he'll look around at you.
Every single
crazy,
time.
But
yeah. Remember the good old days.
But it's a great week. Come off a really good game last night. Fell asleep. Like towards the end of the game, and then so I guess whenever your prime game goes off, it goes to another show.
Okay.
And so I woke up this morning and went downstairs and I was clicking on something, and it was like five episodes of The Citadel was playing.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, hey, babe, I guess she was watching last night. And she's like, no, I didn't watch anything on Prime. I'm like, somebody got our damn Prime account. Somebody jacked the cable. Oh, it was me, babe. My bad. I fell asleep with the Prime on and just went to that.
Yeah, it just started like when you watch the NBA playoffs on TNT and Charmed comes
on.
You wake up and you're in the middle of an episode of Charmed.
I just fell asleep. That was all. That was it.
Well, you're not the only one that fell asleep during that game, probably. I mean, it was entertaining for sure. I don't think it was super entertaining if you're a diehard Seahawks fan like my brother.
Oh.
My brother must have texted me 400 times during that game because he doesn't have social media.
Uh-huh.
So he just texts me the whole time. And I'm like, and my friend Jackson, same thing yesterday with the Cleveland Indians game. I was like, dude, I love you. Stop live texting me this game. I'm not watching it.
Right.
I want your team to win. I hope it goes well. But, like, I don't. If they strand a runner on third in the fourth inning, I don't want you to let me know. I'm sorry. Like, stop.
Right.
Leave me alone. I got stuff to do. Yeah, my brother was living and dying with that game last night.
They have uniforms, though.
Uniforms are beautiful.
Can't go wrong with them.
Uniforms are beautiful. Early second half comeback. But it's not a very good football team there in Seattle.
No.
They don't have a very good defense there in Seattle.
No, they got a young
quarterback
defense.
Who makes a lot of mistakes. He's a good – Geno's good. Don't get me wrong. Geno's a good player, but he makes a lot of very big mistakes.
Yes,
and it's going to be hard to win games like that. Meanwhile, San Francisco still dealing with the injury bug. Obviously, no idea when Christian McCaffrey is going to be healthy. Debo Samuel being back is a huge deal.
Yeah. George Kittle being healthy.
Kittle balled out last night.
Yeah, so I think they're still a really good football team. And, you know, as we get ready to switch gears to this football team here in Atlanta, I think they're a good football team.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, when you're a good football team, you know, I know the NFL, any given Sunday, you go beat teams that are worse or not as good as you. And the Carolina Panthers are not as good as the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina Panthers are one of the worst football teams in the league.
Are they the worst? Because they might be. I know they want to win. They got to win.
Cleveland's bad, man.
Yeah, and it's bad because
their quarterback is playing so bad.
Yeah,
and they have
that's
no,
true.
And we talked about it earlier this week. They have no – they can't bench him because,
they pay him $230 million guaranteed dollars.
And is Jameis going to do something? You know what I mean? Like, is Jameis a spark?
I think Jameis would be better than
I think
Deshaun.
He would be, too.
I mean,
that's how they view him.
Like,
how much better would we be if we take this guy out?
Yeah.
So, but I think that, when you talk about Carolina, we already talked about it. We know what they want to do. We talked about their run game. Chubba Hubbard, fifth in the league in rushing. That's what they want to do. And they can't do that. And even if they can't, said yesterday, even if they can run the ball, they're still a bad football team. Mm-hmm. You should not lose to this football team. And so, I sit around to 4 o'clock to watch it. But I think, if they go out there.
425. That extra 25 minutes is a killer.
Oh, yeah, it always sucks. It's 4 o'clock.
So long, because 4 is long enough when you're used to 1 o'clock starts.
Yes.
4:25.
Yeah,
game's not going to be over until 8 o'clock.
That extra 25 minutes.
It really is.
Yeah,
it's
is.
Like, damn, come on. All the other games have started. And then if it's a game where there's any offense going at all, the game takes a while. It really won't be over until 8 o'clock.
Right.
Which I guess will roll you right into Sunday Night Football, which is nice. But, hopefully, if the Falcons take care of business like they should, that second half will go quickly.
Yeah, man. And that 4:25 window is loaded, man.
Yeah,
you look at the
games.
Cowboys, Lions, Still, no, it's really not loaded. The 1 o'clock hour is loaded. But, but you know, when you come back to it, it's you go up there and handle your business and get back home with a win, and then get ready for the following week. I think the biggest thing when you're in this part of the season is try to stack as many wins as you can, especially against opponents that you're better than. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one thing we said.
Because you know who's next.
Yeah.
Seattle. You watch them play last
Seattle
night.
Yeah,
they're better than them.
They're better than them. They are. And we'll talk more about them next week, but they got guys. They got weapons. They got dudes that can get her done. This team, they got – if you give them an opportunity to make plays, they're going to make plays because they're NFL players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean
– right. With all due respect, because you're right, they are NFL players, and anything can happen on a given Sunday. And we are talking about the Falcons, who over the last handful of years, when they've been better than teams, they've played to their level and lost a lot of these games. I mean, they've lost the last 2 years in Carolina when they've probably were better than them, but it's not like they were that much better than them, but they certainly were better than them. Now there's undeniably an advantage at the quarterback position, and hopefully, from what you saw last Thursday night, we'll see more of that. And I don't mean more of 500 yards passing and all of that. I just mean offensive rhythm and being able to keep drives alive and being able to win time of possession and all those sorts of things. If I'm looking for anything Sunday that I haven't seen, certainly didn't see Thursday night, but really haven't seen yet, is establish the run game and be able to sort of be balanced offensively. Yeah. Look, if you got the pass game going like they did against Tampa, I really don't care.
Right.
Like if they can't stop you got, but at a certain point, it would be really nice to have a little bit more balance offensively with this team.
Yeah.
They're one of the bottom five teams in the league in terms of running the ball, in terms of effectively running the ball. If you stack the box on them, they flat out don't run it at you, which is fine. Kirk can sort of throw it around, but it would be nice to see that run game get going a little bit.
Let's say I said right here, 300 pass and 150 rush.
I'll take it.
I think the biggest thing with a team when you're playing like a Carolina team is like how many possessions are you going to get?
Yeah.
Because they want to run the ball, the clock could be running, and all those things, and you want to run the ball also. So how many possessions do you get? You got to take advantage of those when you go against a team who's a predominantly run play action team. Like the Carolina Panthers are, and I know we talked yesterday to Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator, and you said something about the time of possession, getting more plays, because it is fun when you play cheap, you know. When
He kind of answered the question the way it was hard to ask him really what I meant.
Right.
What I meant was just like in the game, like when he's in the booth calling a game, and the game's like it was on Thursday versus what it was in week one. Obviously, it's more fun.
Yeah.
But I just mean like he's literally calling like 30 more plays.
Yes.
Like, he's calling 30 more
plays.
It's a lot more fun.
Fun,
but also, like, you're busy.
Right.
Like, you got to be thinking ahead.
Right.
Do you drink more Diet Coke in that game? Like, I wanted him to take me inside the booth and tell me what that experience for 3 hours is like in a game where you're so active with 80 plays, like they called on Thursday night, versus some of the other games they called earlier. Now, he said it's more fun and he can get into a rhythm, and I get it. That's true. And, again, that's something that we hope to continue to see from this team, because – as the year goes, and I think Raheem's been very smart about the way that he's handled this question when he's been asked about what the identity of the team is, he's like, well, we're going to find out. Like, we don't know. I mean, I have my thoughts on it, but I don't want to say what I think and then be wrong, whatever. Like, this team's going to show you what the identity is over time. It feels pretty clear to me that the identity of this team is going to be the offense.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be the passing game.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because he paid the quarterback all that money, and you have weapons to throw to and all that stuff. But I think that also has something to do with the fact that the defense is kind of only okay.
Yep.
And as it stands right now, the running game is kind of only okay.
Right. And those okays have got to – they got to pick it up. They got to get to where this team wants to go. Both of those okays got to be good.
Yeah.
All right. At least one of the two have to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard a lot of on TV, they were, had Kurt Presser or whatever, and he was talking. They had Moody on. He's a special guest. And I love the conversation where they're trying to still get familiar with each other, and how him and Kurt, they're watching tape. Kurt is stopping, like, what were you thinking here? Because I want you to run it the way you ran it, but I missed you on that play. That's my fault, because I didn't know you were going to win that fast. And that's how this offense and this high pass game is getting more and more up to date. Maybe I heard Moody say, yeah, the route's at 12, Kurt, but if he's doing this, I'm going to run it at 10. Okay, I got you. They're trying to still get familiar with each other in that part, so that's going to be the best part when they all get that down. But this team needs to be able to run the football, because you know what that does? That offensive line that you have, you can't have them dropping back that much.
Why are they struggling to run the football?
The teams are selling out to stop it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, and you're not getting the push up front that you need to. We understand that. And, you know, they're – I won't say it's not clicking. They got to do something else. You know, I know they want them to run the outside zone and everything like that. You said, I don't know if you said it, somebody said it, they have the highest run rate of the outside zone in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Well, try some inside runs.
Sure.
You know, try to
mix
do something.
It up.
Mix it up a little bit because, I mean, teams are selling out to it. And as we talked to Lindstrom, the thing with the zone is if everybody's not moving the same way, there's going to be some leakage and all those things. And there's so much leakage in this offensive line so far this year. We talked about Bijan having to make somebody miss still. Can't have that. You know, Tyler Algier, he's really good at it because he's a one-cut, get up field, take those dirty four, bang somebody's head against the ground, and keep going. So they just got to figure out how to get the movement up front and prevent all the leakage because the first sign of leakage on the zone read, outside zone is dead.
Play's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
And so they got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. I'm interested, too, to see and watch Bijan closely. He's been banged up a little bit. He's been used less week by week. His last 2 weeks have been the lowest. I know he's only in his second year. He's in five games of his second year. But they've been the two lowest games he's gotten touches
right.
outside of the game where he was sick last year and the game where they benched him because he fumbled.
Right.
Like, that's weird. Like, we didn't expect that to be. It's not exactly Kyle Pitts a couple weeks ago when it was 0-for-0. But, you know, what's going on?
I don't know.
Let's get Bijan the football.
Yeah. And then
Bijan Robinson.
But it also goes back to a certain thing. I'm out of plays. How many plays can you get in?
Last week they had 81.
But the runway, it wasn't going.
Well, they could throw it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I mean,
they're throwing it down. Like, I'm not complaining about what happened offensively last week.
Right.
They go for all those yards, and it works the way that it worked. It is what it is. It's just something to look at.
Yeah.
This is something to look at with Bijan's usage kind of being less and less as the season has gone on. And, there, again, he's been held out of practice a little bit and whispers of getting banged up. And so just something to monitor. Because I like when Bijan has the ball.
Hell yeah.
He's fun to watch.
Fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, very good.
But he has a football in
very
his
good
hand.
Football player. Not he's also on my fantasy team. But that doesn't matter. No one cares about that. No one cares about that. I do a little bit. We did draft him. All right. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back and get into what's trending here on a Happy Hour Friday. Braves made some moves yesterday.
Scapegoat.
Are we scapegoating? Are we problem solving? What are we doing? We'll talk about that and the rest of a very busy football weekend coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It'll be a good chess match. They got good players across the field there. Good secondary. I know they've been a little bit banged up, but shoot, it's an NFL game. You know you're going to get everybody's best every single Sunday. So we got to be ready to roll, but definitely expecting a good challenge, knowing you know the defensive coaches that they have on that side of the ball, as well as the players they got going.
Yeah, that was more the answer than anything when we talked to Zach Robinson yesterday. Was the familiarity. We spent a lot of time talking about the offensive coaching
yeah.
staffs that are filled out by all the Shanahan McVay tree across the NFL. There's some defensive guys too.
Yeah,
some defensive guys out there, and obviously the Panthers and the defensive side of the ball has some of those guys over there. So there's some familiarity there. Look, here's the deal. If the Falcons play up to their level, they're going to win this game
yes.
by double digits.
Yes, yes.
In order for the Falcons to not win this game or have this game be a nail-biter late, they're going to have to do some self-inflicted dumb
I
stuff.
Agree.
Now, they've done that in the past. They've done those things. So you just have to play smart and play clean. And that's what he said when we asked him, hey, like, if there's one thing you really want to improve, even after last week where you guys went off, scored all those points, passed the ball over the yard, what is it? And he said, penalties.
Yep.
We got to play cleaner. We got to be
yep.
smarter. And if they're clean and smart on Sunday, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Buck. And, I mean, you look at it, I mean, we talk about the Jadeveon Clowney's over there. I mean, J.C. Horn's a good young player,
yeah.
good young corner and everything. Look offensively, Deontay Johnson can play. Leggett still learning and everything, and we talked about Mingo. But I'm so with you on them taking care of the football, the penalties that kill drives, kill first downs. Cut those out. And they play a clean game. We talked earlier in the show, 300 passing, 150. But to get there, you got to make some explosive plays. One, if you're not getting the amount of plays that you want to get in the ball game. But yeah, as long as they go up there and take care of business and do the things right. They got to cover better this game because back in, we saw last night a big kickoff return for a touchdown. They got to cover better than they did against Tampa because those are free yards that you're giving them. Drive start position is very important in a game like this.
Yeah, special teams got a little sloppy against Tampa.
It's very important in a game like this. So they've got to figure out a way to possess the football and stop the run in this football game in order for them to win. But I don't have it. I don't think this should be a problem. They're going to break some runs. They are. Chip is a really good back, and this is what they do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some gashes every now and then. But you got to be able to, you know, because Atlanta's been a bend but don't break defense, right? And so when you bend, a lot of times that goes against you as far as the play clock and all those, not the play clock, but the time of possession, it goes against you because they're holding the football.
Sure.
Now, they're kicking threes, but they've held the damn ball for 9 minutes.
Yeah, that's the recipe for a tight game on Sunday is if they're able to sustain those drives, you don't get them off the field on third down, you keep letting them get into that third and second, third and two, third and one stuff, and then they give it to Chuba and keep it alive, and then, you know, you make a mistake or two on offense. Like, they want you to have, like, eight possessions in this game. That's what they want.
Yes.
They want this to be a minimal possession football game.
Agreed.
And then maybe you make a mistake and they can stay in it. If you're able to get off the field, like, they don't have a chance in this game. So, anyway, we'll get back into it and all the other big games in an NFL no huddle in about 25 minutes. Roddy Nabalsi going to join us in 15 minutes talking UGA and Mississippi State. We spent a little bit of time on it yesterday. It's a 4:15 kick, kind of a weird kick on SEC Network. But, I mean, really, Georgia just needs to go in and
start fast, man.
Start fast. And end this thing quickly and handle their business. Like, this is one of those ones where you're significantly better than the opponent.
Right.
Make it look like
that. Make it look like it. I agree. I agree with that, man.
Good teams in college football blow bad teams out.
I agree.
And Georgia hadn't really done that. I know they did against Tennessee Tech or whatever, but second half against Clemson. Do it early. Yeah. Go out there and establish something early.
I agree with you. I mean, you talk about give the crowd something to cheer about. Mississippi State is overmatched in this game.
Yeah.
You got a team full of transfers and everything, like a lot of transfer portal kids. Can't do really anything good on offense or defense. So I think Georgia needs to go out there and put their foot down early.
Yeah.
I think you need to get Carson out of there in the third quarter.
That would be great.
You know, get Carson out of there in the third quarter because nobody get hurt and all those different things. Because next week, I mean, it's another big time matchup between Texas, who I think will win tomorrow against Oklahoma. But go in there and handle you. They're not going to lose to Mississippi State, but I mean, go out there and establish who you are in this game.
Yeah, and again, not to be disrespectful to anyone, like when we talk about the Falcons and the Panthers, but if Georgia does what they're capable of doing, the second half of this game can almost be treated like a bye week for some of these starters, which is great going into a game on the road against Texas, who will likely still be the number one team in the country, and Texas playing a rivalry game against Oklahoma. And I'm with you. I think Texas is probably going to win that game handily, but maybe not. I thought they were going to do that last year. They were way better than Oklahoma last year, and Oklahoma beat them. So this is one of those ones that, like, I know we say this in rivalry games because it's true in some of them, but it's also just something people say. Like, it's a rivalry game. You never know. This one's true.
Yes.
Like, these games, even when one team's way better than the other team, finds a way to be competitive and be good. So now, I don't think that's what's going to happen tomorrow between these two teams, but you never know. You never know. And if you can get up and take care of Mississippi State early and let your guys rest, and Texas finds himself in a dogfight with Oklahoma, that's great.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about it. If Oklahoma can take something out of them, yeah, of course, obviously. But, I mean, I think Texas is rolling right now. They got their guy back and all the injuries on the offense for Oklahoma. That's just how I
All the receivers are out.
Yeah, all of them out.
They can't protect that quarterback anyway. He is dynamic, but he makes mistakes. So, yeah, that one's probably not going to go great for Oklahoma. We'll get to more college football games and previews and stuff like that coming up in the noon hour as well. Like we said, Roddy Nabalsi going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk some Georgia Bulldogs. All right, so off-season news for the Braves. Not a great year, obviously. No. They're out of it as the playoffs continue, and a lot of injuries this season. But one of the things we talked about consistently throughout the year was just how bad the offense was. Now, I understand a lot of that was because of injuries, but it was also just really frustrating to watch these guys at the plate, man.
Yep.
Just a lot of really bad at-bats and really frustrating stuff and steps backward for guys that were really good. I guess it was Kevin Seitzer's fault.
Yep.
Because they fired Kevin Seitzer yesterday, the hitting coach.
Okay. I mean, these guys haven't hit like you are. How bad some of the at-bats are. How bad a lot of the at-bats are.
Yep.
And, you know, they got to – it's always one of those things where how in the NFL you fire a coordinator or something like that, or no, you fire the cornerbacks coach or something like that, you know, and that'd make it all better and everything. These guys, I mean, obviously we talk about the injuries and everything like that, but Matt Olson didn't do what he was supposed to do. He played every game. He didn't have the same season he had, you know. Arcia, he didn't have the same season he had last year. I mean, there's a lot of guys who struggle with hitting and everything, but I don't think it's because of him.
Well, he was the Major League Baseball, like, coach of the year. Yeah. Not manager, but coach of the year before. Yeah. Hit 300 home runs and all those runs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess he just got bad. I don't know if it's because of him, but it seems pretty clear that the approach changed from year over year. They struck out way more. They drew way less walks. They were way worse with runners.
Why did it change?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? When you say that like that, was it a fundamental thing like we want you to do this?
Right. Like we want to be more aggressive early in counts or something like that. My issue is like baseball's a really long season.
It is.
And I understand like you don't have off days to work on stuff, but it seems like over the course of time, if you're noticing that something isn't working, like, all right, this new approach that we're trying to go with is leading to us stranding runners more often and be way less potent offensively, maybe we should go back to what we were doing last year.
Yeah.
They never did.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, they stuck with this garbage approach all year.
Was it him going to them and saying, or them watching film, I don't know, whatever they do.
Yeah.
And like, okay.
I don't know.
I know we did this good last year, but if we do this, this will be make better.
I'm also of the belief, and I don't want to say that the coaches, of course the coaches are important and they're in there with them every day working with them. I think a lot of the big picture approach stuff comes from front office analytics, like that kind of stuff. So like if they had a more, okay, we want to be more aggressive.
How do you go analytic, whatever you're talking about from that year?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that you would want to stick with what
worked. You would think
that, right? Yeah. From the year before.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they did, and the guys just sucked. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But they were terrible offensively.
Yes, they were.
Here's the thing. Like, terrible offensively. They still were fourth in baseball in home runs.
Which is
– right?
Yeah.
Still really good.
But what were they like last year?
First. And they set the record.
Yeah.
They had like 100 less home runs year over year.
Yeah.
But also Ronald Acuna missed most of
the
year.
Correct.
And Austin Riley missed a lot of the year. Everybody. Like six of their nine opening day starters missed 2 months.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is what teams do when they have down seasons. You fire position coaches or you fire hitting coaches or I don't know who you bring in to fix it. Hopefully
Chipper's
they
not
get
coming.
It right.
Chipper's not coming.
Well, why? But he was.
Huh?
He was.
What do you mean?
He used to be part of the hitting coaches.
Yeah, Chipper. I think Chipper done moved out of Georgia.
Because remember a couple years ago, it was like they got nine hitting coaches.
I remember
Chipper's
that.
One of them.
It, but Chipper was like, hey, babe, I'm about to go to the ballpark real quick and hang out with the guys.
Yeah.
That's what Chipper was. Chipper wasn't no damn coach. Chipper was like, hey, babe.
Look, I don't know.
Babe, I'm going to go hang out with the fellas for a little bit, man.
And, I just remember a couple years ago, he was watching tape with guys and that was it. And then you didn't hear anything about that last year. So maybe they need Chipper back.
Man, I don't know, man. Chipper seemed like he done went somewhere on a ranch somewhere down there and shoot geese.
I'll tell you what I would be doing if I was Chipper.
What?
Not much.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be hanging
man,
out.
I'd be chilling.
I wouldn't be breaking down tape with Orlando Arcia.
Man, no.
That's what I would not be doing.
I love this team, but I love my life. That's like when we were talking with Mike earlier this week. Mike on a working vacation. The hell I'm working for if I'm on vacation? It ain't vacation. It ain't work. It ain't vacation. It's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even more so, I'm a Hall of Famer that's retired.
Yeah, man.
I like to hunt and maybe have a drink or two.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
I'm not going to
come over to the damn stadium and help a professional guy hit.
see where your hands are?
Yeah.
See where their hands are when the pitch is released? You want your hand? No, we're not doing that.
No, man.
We're
chilling.
That. Anyway, I don't know who they hire. I don't know where they go from here. Hopefully they figure it out and are better at hitting next year. I don't know that it was Kevin Seitzer's fault. Maybe it was. Georgia Tech takes on North Carolina at noon.
Okay.
North Carolina's not very good.
No, they're not.
Georgia Tech, a couple nice wins.
Is Coach Collins over there?
Chance to go. Yeah, he is. You got the grudge match.
Don't let him get no damn game ball.
Jeff Collins right. being the defensive coordinator. Go in there and score like 40 on him.
Yeah.
James Madison put 70 on him. You could put 40 on him.
Yeah, I mean.
And then drop him off some Waffle House after the game.
Oh, no. Just take him the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
nice Waffle House coffee cup.
Yeah, take him the coffee cup over there and everything. No, Tech should win this game comfortably. The biggest thing they have not done a lot, the quarterback, he has not had the big turnovers. You know what I mean, Andy? He's been really good running and throwing the football. Their defense needs to show up this game. I think that's the biggest thing. Georgia Tech's defense has to show up in this game because they should go up there and you got line out.
They're favored by 4. The only guy on North Carolina you really worry about is Amarion Hampton, that running back that they have.
He's very good.
He's quite good.
He's very good.
But other than that.
No, I think Tech should go up there and take care of it.
Yeah, 4. I don't know. You might hear that one later.
I'm like,
Not a hard place to play. Fun place to watch a game. Yeah. Shout out to Sam, listener, hooked me and my wife up with tickets to see App State play North Carolina last year on the road. Awesome place to watch a game, but not a tough environment or anything like that. And then a noon kickoff as well on the CW. Where everyone goes to watch their favorite college football
games. Once it goes off, we're going to get some Wayans brothers.
Probably.
Or Moesha.
Both shows I loved in my youth. Both
never watched Moesha.
I would watch Moesha sometimes.
I just really liked
Brandy.
I never watched the Wayans brother until afterwards. Because I love Pops. I love John. But yeah, I was like,
I watched that show when it was on.
Yeah, I never really watched it.
You pretty much knew it was going to happen every episode.
Pretty much.
It was pretty formulaic. But you know what? Who didn't like watching those guys hang out and have a good time? Plus, yeah, the dad was hilarious. All right, we'll come back. Rodney Nabalsi is going to join us next. We'll talk some Georgia football with him. Georgia, Mississippi State tomorrow at 4:15. SEC Network, not the most prime spot, but deserving probably of the situation. They're not going to wear black jerseys, are they?
No.
Make sure of that from Roddy.
No.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Roddy Nabalsi next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Bar's starting to fill up. People are starting to show up to hang out for lunch on a happy hour Friday. We'd love to see you. The beer's currently
28.9.
Thought it was going to go to 29.
Oh.
28.9 degrees. That's a nice cold beer. Nice cold beer on a beautiful Friday. We'd love to see you. 20 minutes away from getting into an NFL no huddle and diving deeper into some of the other games along with the Falcons and Panthers game. But Fridays at 11:40 mean Roddy Nabalsi joins us from UGASports.com. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fine, guys. Doing fine. I don't know that I'm as fine as Kirby Smart is. I mean, he's had a bunch of people kind of mad at him about all the events of the week and kind of started off with the crowd noise. But I think the crowd noise is going to be kind of lights out today or tomorrow, especially when Georgia starts running the ball. That was why I picked that music there. They talk about running. And I'm like, hey, you can run on this Mississippi State team. Let's see Trevor Etienne get lathered up and Nate Frazier take the ball to the house a few times. And I think that fan base will be sideways if you actually put the ball into the end zone a few more times.
Rod, confirm it, okay? They're not wearing them ragged-ass black jerseys, are they?
No.
That's all you know. All right. Thank you.
Hey, don't hang on the black jerseys. It's a
man,
good look.
Man,
you know?
Jerseys are raggedy. Damn them jerseys. Damn them jerseys.
You never got to wear them. Don't lie.
We never asked to wear them. I mean, you remember when they brought them black pants? You remember Coach Donnan brought them the black pants out, and we wore them in the Outback Bowl and beat the hell out of Ron Dame and them. And then remember that Florida game we went down there with them, and Florida drug our ass through the mud. Remember that? That's why we stopped wearing them.
I remember that. I also remember, you know, Heidi Klum wouldn't go out with me, but I didn't blame her for it. So it's you
know. So it was the pants. The pants that did it. One other dumb rumor of the week. We'll just get these all out of the way. We've dispelled them, but you know more than we do about this kind of stuff. Kirby's not going to take the Jets job, is he?
No, that was started by a fan site that actually is called College Football Trolls. If anybody bothered to look at the title.
Exactly.
The title of who it was.
That was my exact reaction. It was like, this a joke account, people. Like, sometimes it's hard to know what's real and what isn't, but it's not always hard to know what's real and what isn't. That certainly wasn't one of those cases. Let me ask you about that crowd noise comment that Kirby had last weekend, though. It's something I've heard people talk about for a while. It's like the game atmosphere sometimes maybe isn't what you'd want it to be. What do you think was all in that from Kirby to say something like that publicly?
Well, I wasn't in the stadium. We do a watch along with Coach Donnan on YouTube, and we had tens of thousands of people watching along with us. But we do have some people in the stadium that text us things. And one of the texts, while I was sitting there on the couch, I was getting texts going, "This crowd is dead." And that's from people inside the stadium telling me that it was just a very, I don't call it a wine and cheese crowd, but it was very, very quiet. It didn't seem like a game against Auburn. And I get that Kirby Smart's, not happy. He wants to see illegal procedures. And mainly, here's the thing nobody's talking about. he wants to see the crowd going sideways and going nuts because he had some top recruits in town. You had Jackson Cantwell, the number one offensive tackle in the nation, the number one overall player in town, and you want him to see what a Georgia-Auburn game is. But I want to take Kirby and say, hey, brother, you are 9-1 against Auburn. You have a 90% percentage of win chance against these guys. That's better than Vandy. You know, you are the victim of your own success. People aren't going to get sideways for a homecoming game against what they see as the Northeast Louisiana Tech welding school. So it's just it's not the same. It's not the same Georgia-Auburn game that you played in, Kirby. It's not the same one that, you know, when you first got here, Auburn was doing better. They're on their 17th coach since you got here. So it's just not going to be that. It's the problem with being a victim of your own success. 42 home win games, or 42 games in a row during the regular season. And when's the last time you lost at home? To South Carolina in 2019?
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry, you can't get up for every one of them.
No. Hey, Rod, what have you and Coach Johnson seen that you can say, put your finger on, this is why Georgia's starting so slow in these games?
Well, you know, I'll go back to last week. If you guys indulge me in a rant here, Georgia had eight possessions last week. They scored on five of them. On the other two, on two of those possessions, they got really far down the field. Once they got it down to the 11 from Auburn, the other one they got down to the 23. When they got down to the 23, they had to kick a field goal. The other one, they got down to the 11 and had to punt. They had to punt the ball because of penalties. And, you know, you had a score come run. What should have been a score come running right back because of a holding call. You had a first and 40. So it's just remember, we asked for Kirby Smart after that Kentucky game. We said, hey, Kirby, can you and Mike Bobo attack vertically? Can you go down the field? You're facing Alabama. You barely won against Kentucky. Let's see you attack them deep. They went deep right off the bat. Arian Smith drops the ball. They throw another one to Dominic Lovett, offensive pass interference. Like, well, now you're looking at 3rd and 10, or you're looking at, you know, 3rd and long. You're getting behind the chain. So when they get aggressive, it doesn't work. When they do what works, you know, running the ball, which they did against Auburn and Alabama, especially in the second half, you get holding calls and some dumb penalties. I'm not here to defend Mike Bobo. It's lazy to say, hey, it's Mike, it's the play calling, when you can point on every drive to stupid plays, busted plays, penalties, in that Alabama game, turnovers. If you keep turning the ball over or you shoot yourselves in the foot every time, they had two sacks, you know, that just killed them. So two of those drives.
With a three-man rush.
With a three-man rush, exactly. So I'm like, again, not here to defend Mike Bobo, but if I call a pass play and they only rush three, I expect something good. I don't expect my quarterback to get sacked. I mean, okay, they drive me hard. You might have to throw it away, Carson, at some point, or you may have to tuck and run. But you ain't going to get sacked when it's 5-on-3. And that's why they've been starting slow. And, again, last week, they had four drives in the first. They scored on the first one. Two sacks on the second and third drives, and then on the fourth one they scored in 50. They had 49 seconds. They scored in 45. I mean, it was five plays, 50 yards. When they want to go fast and then no one screws up, they are very efficient and can do so. Yeah. But keep screwing up.
Exactly. It's not about defending anybody. It's about being honest about what you're seeing. And there's been big plays to be made. Like, the play call was good. That first drive against Alabama, Arian Smith's open. He makes that catch. That's an explosive play. Might be a touchdown. Same thing in the first half against Auburn. He's got to make the plays. Like, the play call's fine.
Yeah.
The ball's there. The throw's good from Carson, because people want to blame him for this stuff too. Like, if you're calling a good play and making a good throw and the guy's dropping the ball, I don't know how you blame the quarterback or the OC for that.
Go back to that. The defense too, the Alabama game, on that first drive, you got him in 3rd and 7, and then you jump off sides. And that's 3rd and 2. Yep. That's a lot easier for Milroe to convert. You should have been off the field.
Yep, no doubt. Riding to Balsy joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy every Friday at 11:40 to get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs game the next day. If there's games like this are what they are. If Georgia goes out there and does what they're supposed to do, there's not a ton to say about it. But if there's a position group, or maybe a player or two, but a position group, a unit, whatever, that you think could stand to gain a little bit of confidence, who are they, and what do you want to see from them tomorrow?
I'd like to see something from the tight ends. And I'm not just kidding to the co-host here, but I mean, you knew it was going to be tough losing Brock Bowers. But Oscar Delp has not had a huge year. Lawson Lucky's really turning the page. All I heard about was how Jurosik, this kid from Stanford, was the replacement for Brock Bowers. I mean, we had the same amount of hype coming out of Georgia's camp that we did about Nate Frazier. They're like, hey, Nate Frazier can run the ball, and Ben is a monster tight end. And I ain't seen it. So I would like to see the tight end step up.
I'll never say looking past an opponent and all those different things. They're going to beat Mississippi State. Shouldn't be a problem. But we'll talk about next week. What would that mean? We were talking about fast. When Georgia starts fast, going to Austin and playing against a Texas team, Rock, because I won't be here Friday, so I won't get to ask you this question. But if they start fast, what would stop them from beating Texas if that's the case?
Nothing. If they start fast and just don't turn over the ball, they can beat Texas. Right. I mean, again, Alabama's not a bad team. They were the number one team in the nation. They never got the ball against Vandy, and they had a couple turnovers. Yeah, everything that could go wrong for them did, and they lost. I mean, Notre Dame also lost earlier in the year. Teams can lose. There's a lot more parity. But if you're going to give Alabama a 28-point lead, you know, four turnovers and a safety, and you still take the lead in the fourth quarter, that is a bloody good football team. And Georgia is a good football team. We were complaining last week about an 18-point win over a arch rival and that it wasn't good enough. Again, when I said you scored on five out of your eight drives, you go into Austin and you don't give them four turnovers and you played – you actually score some early on, which makes them have to answer instead of Georgia always having to answer. Georgia has to answer these other teams, but if you make them a little one-dimensional, they have to play catch-up. That is Kirby Smart's football. That's his complimentary football that he talks about all the time. Let me get a one- or two-score lead. Let's make that offense on the other side a little bit more predictable, which allows me to call my defense the way I want to. And all of a sudden, that's when they peel away from teams. You saw it again in the Clemson game. Once you started getting ahead of them, they had to go one-dimensional. Then Georgia just poured it on, and that's what they could do at Austin. Now, if they screw up and don't score a whole lot in the first half and turn the ball over, they'll lose.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate it, Roddy.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com. I like the answer about Kirby talking about the crowd noise. It makes sense when it relates to recruiting because
– oh, no doubt.
Well, because they don't have big home games this year. Right. All the big games are on the road.
Right.
And obviously Florida is a neutral site. So, like, how are we showing off to these kids that we're trying to get to come here? They're getting recruited by all the other big programs too.
Uh-huh.
And they got home games that are going to be electric.
Right.
We got Auburn, which traditional rival, 9-1 against them, and you're way better than them. So I understand the complacency against a team like that you're just going to beat. I mean, Roddy called them the Northeast Louisiana Welding School.
I mean,
there's a lot of Auburn fans listening.
That's what they were called.
They didn't like hearing that.
Were they called that back
in the day
or something? Something like that. I don't know.
But anyway.
It's personal, man.
He's right.
It's their fault because they whine.
Well,
we don't want to play Georgia and Alabama.
It's their fault because they're not very good.
No, they're not.
And they keep firing coaches and thinking that it's going to fix it, and it hasn't yet, and maybe it will with the recruiting class they have coming in. I don't know. But, I get it. I was like, well, I have never heard Kirby really do that before.
Yeah.
I see. He's mad about it wasn't a good recruiting day.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any big home games this year.
You have the big guy in the we'd say the number one player in 2025 in their thing, and I'm sure he's like kind of bored.
A quiet,
mom, you ready to go?
A country club,
yeah,
all right,
man.
Cool.
I mean, the cheese and wine crowd. Yeah, but I'm sure, like he said, if you go out there tomorrow and run the damn football, and Frazier is breaking off the long runs and Etienne and everything like that, I think this game's gonna go fast because I do think Georgia's gonna run the ball. I think Georgia's gonna run the ball. They're gonna do some play action pass, let Carson throw it over the top a couple times. It should look a lot like that Tennessee Tech game.
Yeah,
it should look a lot like that.
It should.
That's how it should look.
Like to see some turnovers from the secondary.
Yeah,
because they like to throw the ball. Mississippi State does,
right.
So and they're young and not very good. So I'd like to see those guys make some plays. And we talked obviously about the game Malachi Starks had.
And nobody get hurt.
Would love to see him make a couple plays tomorrow. And get out of there healthy. Honestly, get to halftime with a big lead and let guys rest.
Yeah.
Get ready for Texas the next week. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, kick off the noon hour. Obviously, we'll get back into the Falcons and Panthers game on Sunday afternoon. Some other fun games on the NFL schedule as well, including another London game. Another London game. The Jaguars are over there for a couple because that's their home away.
Are they playing back-to-back games over there?
They are. Okay. A couple of London games in a row. So we'll talk about that and all the other games coming up on Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.